Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game on the Falcons Monday. But let's talk a little college football because the SEC is underway and off to a rousing start in a lot of ways. As we look at the SEC, Sounds of the SEC brought to you by Kroger. Kroger, which is fresh for everyone. And Hugh, we're going to start with the Georgia Bulldogs. Boy, there were a lot of angst in Twitter and around the Georgia universe the way that game began with Dwan Mathis at quarterback, because for the first, pretty much the whole first half, the Georgia Bulldogs looked inept on offense. That was a tough start. Then they got Stetson Bennett in at quarterback. Stetson settled the team down, and Georgia put their foot on the gas and ran away with it.
Bennett. Near side, pass is caught. George Pickens. Touchdown, Georgia.
Yeah, George Pickens gets into the end zone. 7-5 in the first half, 32-3. Georgia outscores Arkansas in half number two. And, boy, they avoid any problems. But now, of course, there might be a little bit of a situation at quarterback. What are you going to do going into the Auburn game this week? You think you got to start Stetson Bennett. You have to, right? I don't think there's any other choice.
Yeah, I think that he has to be the starter. You're talking about the other – man, what was it? I can't remember his name right now.
Who, JT?
Dwan Mathis.
Dwan Mathis.
Yeah, yeah, and you don't know if the other guy is ready to go just yet. So you have to start him, because Dwan had a rough day. And I remember one play, he was trying to slide and something, he got hit. Yeah, you got to – he's still young. I think that you have to go with Stetson Bennett at this point.
The Florida Gators off to a fine start, but boy, they got riddled up too. They gave up a lot. I think this game between Florida and Ole Miss had nearly 1,300 yards in offense, but Florida managed to win a wide open affair, 51-35. Tight end Kyle Pitts for Florida had four touchdown catches in the game, part of the six that were thrown by Kyle Trask.
A lot that gets revealed when you get to this part of mid-Saturday to the end zone. Did he hold on? Yes! Touchdown, Kyle Pitts! Man, I just love Kyle Pitts. I love you, Kyle Pitts. I want a Kyle Pitts jersey. I want a fat head of Kyle Pitts on my wall.
Well, Kyle Pitts had a big day.
That was a little bit too much.
Yeah. But Matt Corral and Ole Miss moved the ball. I mean, Florida gave up 600 and some odd yards, so there has to be some concern about that. I think if you're the Florida Gators, your defense got riddled quite that way. I mean, you did win, and you put up a lot of points. A very un-Florida-like score from what we've been used to with Florida over the last few years to win a 51-35 game.
I would say first game of the season for everybody. You know, everybody has those first game jitters. So I don't think that is something that is overly concerning. I mean, because, you look at the game that Georgia had, and it was kind of – it kind of always makes me wonder, especially with Randy Mack, being the diehard Georgia fan that he is, going to school there. And give a shout-out to DJ Shockley, because he actually did the game. I wonder what he was going through when he was actually going through the booth, and it looked like, Arkansas was going to give Georgia a game. Just to not to be concerned about, the initial start of the game, knowing that this team is going to get it together. I'm kind of curious of how those guys were going through it. But like I said, John, it's the first game of the season. I think that both teams are going to be fine.
LSU's got, it's only the first game of the season, but LSU had, because of attrition, a lot of attrition, guys leaving early for the NFL, guys opting out for the season, LSU was in a position where The defending national champions had a grand total of five starters back from that team last year to begin their slate against Mississippi State at home, and it showed especially on defense, where LSU is so young. They're talented, but they're so young and so raw. The KJ Costello, the transfer quarterback from Stanford under Mike Leach, had a massive day down in Baton Rouge.
Costello going to go long to the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Mitchell. Another huge third down play. Touchdown number five for KJ Costello.
Yeah, well, he had 623 yards passing in the game, 623 yards passing, which is a new SEC single-game record. And he, I think, you know, just a case where LSU just is so young, so raw, that they just got diced up.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. You know, you talk about losing Joe Burrow. He had a hell of a game yesterday, and all the stuff that they lost out there on that football team, it's going to be a little bit. You know, you'd be hard-pressed to think that LSU is going to make a repeat. You definitely would.
And for Mississippi State, get used to it. Mike Leach is going to do this, guys. He's going to throw it 70 times a game. That's why Costello wanted to go play for him. You're going to wear your arm out in a Mike Leach offense, and you saw that in that first game. Auburn, on the other hand, they take out Kentucky. We expected it to be kind of a knockdown, drag-out slugfest. Indeed, it was. It wasn't the prettiest of games, but Auburn goes out there and wins a hard-fought 29-13 victory behind Bo Nix.
Fade. Caught! Seth Williams can go get it, and that time it goes over the top of Joseph. Last slap to the receiver.
Now, one of the things I think stood out for me watching a little bit of this game, Hugh, is we talked about this, about can Auburn reload in certain spots. To me, it looked like they could on defense. I mean, Kentucky's a pretty good team, and even though you lost guys like Derrick Brown and Marlon Davidson, that defense looked pretty stout.
Yeah, I mean, didn't get a chance to see too much of this game, John, but from what I got from the highlights, they're like they were out there doing their thing the other day.
So Auburn gets a win over Kentucky and starts its season in fine fashion. Alabama goes on the road to Missouri and wins 38-19, a little bit closer than I think some people thought, but still nonetheless, Alabama, the number two team in the nation, looked like it was ready to roll.
Forrestall shifted into the backfield. Najee Harris puts his head down and scores the first Alabama touchdown of 2020.
All right, you get that out of the way. If you're Alabama, you go to Missouri, you win 38-19. Maybe, you know, not the 55-0 that you were hoping for or something, but I think, nonetheless, I think the early returns on Alabama are fine, and they look like they're going to be here for the long haul this year.
Yeah, I did get a chance to see this game. And Mac Jones, Mac Jones threw for 249 yards, two TDs. They're like, he's going to be okay.
Yeah, and it will be interesting to see how they incorporate Bryce Young. I think, you know, you have this new rule, Hugh, where you have four games you can play and not burn a red shirt. And Bryce Young being, you know, the number one, dual option quarterback, a dual threat quarterback in the nation coming into this season out of high school, he's going to get some playing time. And it'll be interesting to see how Alabama plays him. But Alabama wins and starts its season off in fine fashion. So did Tennessee. I think a lot of people expected Tennessee going to South Carolina. Might be an upset possibility, and sure enough, South Carolina at home played them tough, but the Vols managed to pull it out in the end.
Stood in there and delivered it downfield.
Going quickly, Garantano wants to throw the deep ball, end zone, touchdown! Josh Palmer!
Yeah, Justin Garantano and the Tennessee Vols pull one out 31-27 over South Carolina. So, Hugh, after week one, you know, kind of what did we learn here? I mean, I think that it's same as it ever was in the East, but maybe a little bit of a shakeup in the West.
Nothing much has changed so far. You're talking about, what are you talking about as far as like what, LSU, what are you talking about?
Yeah, LSU getting beat by Mississippi State, I think that certainly is one. Texas A&M struggled to a win over Vanderbilt, and they were, you know, a number 10 team, and they were at home. And they barely beat Vanderbilt. Makes you wonder again if we're overvaluing, as we always seem to do, Texas A&M. Because behind Alabama, what do you look at now as, you know, at the moment, Arkansas, I think we kind of saw what they were in the second half. I think Auburn's there, but Alabama, if I'm an Alabama fan, I'm kind of looking going, okay, LSU, you got issues. Mississippi State, I'm not really overly worried about you. A&M, you got issues.
But with Mississippi State, you got to give them a little bit of props because, you know, Coach Jamar Chaney's there, you know, my frat brother. I think they're going to be. They're going to be, our frat brother, I think they're going to be okay. I think it's a good start. And you know how I feel about confidence when you talk about a team, a young team, that gets a win like they got. Even though LSU has all the losses of all the seniors and everything, to have a team get that win, John, ain't nobody caring about the fact that they're you know, devoid of the guys that helped them win the championship. They're the defending national champions. And so when you have a young team, that goes a lot, and that says a lot about you, and that helps build your confidence when you get a win like that. So Mississippi State might be in a position to make some noise.
Yeah, no, I agree, Hugh. I'm not saying that they aren't. I'm just saying that, I mean, if you're Alabama, are you worried about them? Probably not.
If you're Alabama, you ain't too much worried about nobody.
Yeah, that was kind of the point. You know, I agree. I mean, Mississippi State could end up finishing second in the West. The East, though, Georgia's Georgia. I think Florida, despite, you know, the slow start on defense, is Florida. I think Tennessee.
Florida picked to win the East, though, right? Florida picked to win the East.
I know. Tennessee, you know, goes on the road, and you say what you like. When you go on the road in the SEC to South Carolina and get a win like that, I think that if I'm a Tennessee fan, I'm pretty happy right about now. Hell of a better start than they had last year at home against Georgia State. So I think the East is really kind of shaking out to be what we expect, which is going to be a 2-3-team race between the old powers of Georgia, Florida, and Tennessee. So we'll see what kind of happens, because next week Georgia is going to be playing Auburn. They're going to be at home. College game day is going to be there. There are going to be some fans in the stands, and this will be a really telling game. And we'll certainly break down some of the things here. But Auburn really struggled to run the football against Kentucky. I really struggled to run the football. And, you know, how are they going to be able to run the football in Georgia if they can't run it on Kentucky? I mean, I don't think they had 50 yards.
Now, that's one thing I will say about Georgia's defense. They look like they're ready to keep, you know, whomever the quarterback is going to be for them. If it's JT Daniels or Stetson Bennett or whoever, that their defense is going to help keep them in the game.
Yeah, they had one breakdown on the one play, right? You know, early in the season, and that one bad Felipe Franks throw, and they had the bad breakdown. But that was just kind of one play. Outside of that, they kept Arkansas in check. I mean, that was no sweat for that Georgia defense, and Auburn's going to have to find a way to move the ball. So, but we'll be talking about this game throughout the week here, because it will be the big national game of the year of the week here, with Auburn and Georgia both in the, you know, top five by the time. Well, Georgia probably stay at number four. I mean, they may move up to three because Oklahoma just lost. Man, Oklahoma lost to Kansas State.
Yeah, I saw that. That was the upset of the week, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at home in Norman. To a Kansas State team that had just lost to Arkansas State.
And they had to come back to get that win, too, because they weren't they down at half?
Yeah, they were down big.
Yeah, they were down at half.
Yeah, they were down big. Scored 24 points in a row. Yeah, if you had said Kansas State was 1-1 to start the season and your two games were home against Arkansas State and on the road at Oklahoma, which games would you end up winning and losing? Not the way it worked. Falcons don't have that luxury of saying, you know, they have a win yet. 0-3. Will we get news from Flowery Branch? Will we not get news from Flowery Branch? We're all guessing. We're all kind of standing by. More of your reaction to the Falcons at Falcons Monday. What now for the Atlanta Falcons as they look ahead to this week and the big Monday night game in Green Bay? On a Falcons Monday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
First and goal. Here is Gurley, left side. Todd, a stiff arm at the five, and a touchdown for Atlanta and Todd Gurley.
Wes Durham on the Falcons Radio Network on 90.9 The Game yesterday. Falcons were running the football. They had two really impressive touchdown runs. Had run for 135 yards at a clip of almost 6.5 yards per carry through three quarters, and went away from it. And the next thing you know, they're having 11-second possessions, and the Bears actually went into the end zone. Welcome back to a Falcons Monday. Brought to you by Xfinity Experience Internet. That's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi. The Bears actually went into the end zone at the Falcons five times in the second half.
You know,
because
what's funny?
You had the interception in the end zone and the drop pass in the end zone.
You know what's funny? Somebody just, like, I'm tweeting back and forth with a friend of mine, and he was just telling me that. You know how hard it is to get five possessions in the fourth quarter? He's like, most teams only get 8 or 9 a game. So, I was like, I know. I used to play. I know how hard it is. And you know what's funny, John? It's one of those things where when you look and you look at this and you look at what the Falcons were trying to do and how Dirk Carter was trying to play this out. And, you know, by not running the ball. Like at some point, you have to be realistic about where your team is. And what I mean is this, and the example that I give is this, is Doug Peterson, when he decided to play for the tie instead of go for the win, that's the reality of the situation he's in. Fletcher Cox didn't play yesterday. So you're looking at it like, okay, and there has been some, you know, some grumblings about the way that the defense for the Philadelphia Eagles have played in the last few weeks. So you're looking at it like, hey, listen, my defense isn't good enough to stop them, obviously. So I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to help them out as much as I possibly can. And what you do by that is you run the ball. You try to take as much time off the clock as you possibly can. In that situation, John, that, like I never do this, but I did it yesterday. I'm looking at the time, and it was like 4 minutes left, and they had just gave the Falcons back the ball. And I was like, wow. I looked, and they only took like 11 seconds off the clock with all the plays that they ran, and I'm like, dude, that's not good. That's not good because this defense has already shown you that they're having some issues. They're struggling. So you do everything that you possibly can to eat up as much of that clock as you can. You milk that clock as much as you possibly can. They didn't do that. They did not do that. And that's what put your defense in a bad spot. Like, you have to be realistic about where your team is at some point. And you have to be realistic about your defenders. Grady goes out the game. Like, listen, okay, he ain't in the game. That's my best pass rusher. I need to do something to try to help these guys out. I need to get out of here with this win. I don't want to have this uncomfortable situation coming into this Monday. That's how you look at that one.
Well, I went to Twitter this morning and I asked, you know, trying to take your, I know it's hard, but trying to take your emotions out of it here. The question is that I posed was, what will the Falcons do today? It's 8:25 in the morning. Not what you want them to do, but what do you think they will do? What will happen today? Trying to take your emotions out of it. And 70% are saying, 70% of the people, and there's a lot of votes right now, are saying, nothing's going to happen today. There's going to be no changes.
No, John, nothing's going to happen. I mean, but you know, and another thing is, like, nobody's trying to be optimistic right now. I mean, they're just, like, we're frustrated. Fans are frustrated. Fans are frustrated with the situation. They're frustrated with how this has played out. Fans feel like they've been duped. You know what I mean? They feel like they've been duped, John. And I mean that's the best way to describe it.
Hey, shame on me. Like, I bought into all the 6-2 thing too. Randy said, you know, don't buy into the, you know, carryover stuff. I thought that they had, you know, found a way to fix the defense and you know, the offense was going to score a lot of points, and I had full faith in that offense being, you know, one of the best in the NFL, which I still think it is. But I thought
the offense has scored a lot of points, John. This, they just ain't scored enough points to win games. I mean, they've scored a lot of points. I mean this offense
is lost. I mean,
they've scored a lot of points, John. It's just that they ain't scored enough to win.
I know.
You know, it's unfortunate that they ain't scored enough to win. But you know, the offense. You know, if you want to talk about that, the offense is doing their job. They're scoring points, but you know, the defense isn't holding up their end of the bargain. And, you know, I know people talk about, you know, you got to help them out. You do. No question. But at some point, man, you know, instead of, you know, talking about how much you love Coach Quinn and all this stuff, other stuff, show me how much you love me by your actions. Go out there and play. Go play.
Right? That's how,
yeah. How I mean, what, like somebody said this morning, like, love without action is just words. Mm-hmm. I mean, no truer thing has been said. You know what I mean? Show me you love me. Go out there and win. Stop a drive.
Here's what they said after the game. Calvin Ridley talking to the media, talking about how the team still believes in Dan Quinn.
No doubt. It's on us. Not playing. It's on us. We got to win the game. We got to be better as players. And man, that's all it is. We got to, like, I got to make plays. He got to make plays. I got to make plays. He got to make plays. That's all it is.
He ain't lying. Where's the lie? I mean, that's the truth. I mean, I've been saying that all morning. Listen, been on both sides of this. And that's why I'm with the fans on this one, man. Got to be. Because this is frustrating. And you know, I got cats sliding my DM asking me, like, they're I'm giving out free couch sessions. And I'm not even a psychiatrist. Like, seriously. And this is the thing. Forget you, Orin. but this is the thing, John. Like, this is like, people are trying to understand why these cats say one thing, but they go out and they do something totally different, John. It's totally different. Like, you say you love Coach Quinn, and you know, you're all for him, and you know, you talk about all the secret sauce and going out there and executing all this other stuff. But come Sunday, it's the, like he said, the tale of two halves. It's almost like Cinderella, get at the ball with the glass slipper, and it just all of a sudden she forget what time it is, and the clock strike 12, and all of a sudden you back to normal, back to life. And that's not a good look. Like, defensively, you're supposed to get stronger as the game goes on. I.e., example, the Chicago Bears defense. Look how much thaya they was bringing when they had to. Akeem Hicks gets that sack, that coverage sack, and smothers Matt Ryan when they need to get it done. That's what defenses do, John. That's what defenses do. And, you know, somebody, you can sit up here and you can tell me all day that the offense should have did this, that, and the third. That's fine. That is fine. But if you're a proud defensive player, if you play defense at any level, at anywhere, you know what that feels like. You know, because you're the unsung hero of the game. You know what that feels like to be in those positions. It's on you. And you're not getting it done right now. You're not getting it done at all.
Here's Matt Ryan after the game, quarterback, talking about where they stand now.
We're close. I mean, as disappointing and as frustrating as it is, you know, we're not getting blown out week in and week out. And so we've got to find a way to tighten it up for sure and find a way to close these things out. There's no question about it. You know, but we're right there. And, you know, that's probably the frustrating part is that, you know, it hasn't been, you know, just getting killed or anything like that. It's just been, you know, we haven't finished the job. And so, you know, while we're frustrated at this point, you have to be optimistic moving forward. We've got to correct the things that we can correct and trust that the next time we get in this situation, we're going to improve on it.
Well, that leads me to what I was kind of just surprised by the reaction to what I consider my unpopular take on Twitter, which is that I kind of agree. I think they are close. I think they have talent. I think they're, you know, you're a game behind the Saints. You have 13 games to go, so don't quit on the season. You know, continue to fight. And what I wanted to see was, and it's not going to happen, but I wanted to see major changes. I wasn't settling for just one change. I wanted to see three or four, because there's something wrong. We all understand that, right? So if there's something wrong, I think you roll the dice. If I'm the owner of the team right now, I would make major changes, Hugh. And I'd roll the dice because I got nothing to lose, because I can't put my finger on exactly wrong, but they could give all that, as you said, lip service in the locker room. Fact of the matter is, it ain't working. And if the team, I believe, has talent, which I think that it does, and we're not going to quit on the year, which I don't want to do, I want to fight till we're absolutely done, then I think you have to take some chances here, some chances that I'm not sure they're willing to take.
You know what I got out of all that exchange, John? That really bothered you that they got at you on Twitter like that for your take?
No, I was surprised.
Don't let the Twitter thugs hurt you. Get at you, John. Don't let them.
Surprised
don't let
that so many
like
fans
that,
wanted
man.
To just check out. I just
yeah, because
didn't quite understand that.
Like, John, they're pissed. They're pissed.
Okay, they can be mad. I'm mad
they
too.
They just bought jerseys. they just bought jerseys and you know what? The reason why Orr didn't get a jersey. Thanks a lot, Orr, for pointing out, because you were sick. You had the COVID. But this is the thing, John. Like, when you look at the investments that the fans put into this, I mean, I feel them on this, and I feel their pain, but you're right. Like, I get both sides, and I'm not playing both sides. It's just that I've been there, and I know how you still supposed to believe in it, but, John, it's certain things, man, that you look at, and you be like, just come on now, man. And when you keep telling me, you know, I got love for Coach Quinn and all this other stuff, and you ain't going out there and you ain't doing it. That's a frustrating spot to be in.
Oh, I agree.
You know what?
I'm
Matt Ryan is right.
But I don't understand the desire to want to just give up and walk away.
Because you're talking crazy, John. Freaking, they ain't trying to hear that crazy talk on a Monday.
That was my point. If you wanted to give up and walk away, then what's the point of firing Quinn? I mean, you don't make a change.
Ain't nobody trying to hear that Monday. That's just like you get cheated on by your wife the night before and you talking about, hey, don't give up on love. No, I ain't trying to hear that right now.
I think if I own the team, of course I don't own the team, I'd make major changes. I wouldn't
just let me be. You should have came with that conversation Tuesday, John. Let me be. It's Monday. Let me be mad. She cheated yesterday. Let me be mad today.
Your point is well taken, but unfortunately, we got a clock that says we're 27 minutes till 9 a.m., and some people are sitting around looking at that clock wondering
she
if
she belongs
be
to them streets, John Freaky. Give it to the streets right now. Don't try to bring her back home. Give it to the streets.
Okay. I gave my first one to the casino, but that's okay. Sweet Tea is around the corner. What Sweet Tea has to say about all this and more, she has some fun stuff too on a Falcons Monday, which is brought to you by Xfinity Experience Internet. That's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi. We'll talk to Tanitra and do a little Sweet Tea next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game and worldwide at radio.com. And The Game. Tanitra, how are you today?
Ha-ha! Good morning, John. Good morning, you.
Good morning, Denitra. How are you doing?
Yeah, he was snorting.
Let us ask him right over that question. So.
No, because I wanted to ask something, but I didn't want to hijack her segment like we did last week. So I just wait.
No. You totally are allowed to ask that because we're just going to kind of let Sweet Tea go in a different direction today. We're going to just let it flow wherever it needs to go because we know some people have some things in their spirit that's not quite right on a Manic Monday.
You said in your spirit. It's like this sounds like an intervention when you say in your spirit something in my spirit is speaking to me. Oh, heck, that's bad. Right. Yeah.
Right. Iyanla fix my life. Iyanla fix my game a lot. Iyanla fix my time management. Okay. But before we my clock management. But before we get to those stories, shout out to Abe. We're going to get through this segment, I promise you, Falcons fans. Shout out to Abe for holding it down solo for weeks. He did a yeoman's job the last few weeks holding it down in that studio, sun up literally to sundown, it seemed like. But we are so glad to also have our guy Oren back. Welcome back, oh.
Hey, thank you for welcoming me back in the middle of, well, all of this. I would have liked to come back under better circumstances. Does that sound bad or selfish that I wanted to come back and have it be better than what it was right now?
No, not at all, because no, I didn't want to come to work, but they made me. So yeah. I'm like,
by know. Making you come to work, they made you roll out of bed, Hugh, and put the headphones on.
They made me plug in this godforsaken device and talk on the nerve.
However, I will say this, though. And you know, Hugh, John, you guys kind of follow me on this one. I find it interesting that on the eve of the return of Oren, Atlanta Sports goes over. I'm just saying.
See, don't put that. Don't wish that evil on me, Tanitra. Mm-hmm. Don't put that evil on me, please.
Something in my spirit ain't right about that, Oren.
Because, you know, I got folks down there in the bayou, too. And if they got some hoodoo working against me right now, you know, I got to go holler at somebody then.
You got to go make it right with
somebody.
I got to
go make it right. Go find make me a chicken right. and a woman with loose morals and
is that what it is?
It might be the, I don't know. I don't know my voodoo stuff. If I'm doing the voodoo wrong, y'all let me know and I'll go and get the ingredients to make this right. Either that or I'll just make a chicken and eat that.
Yeah, that'll probably be your best bet.
Fashion. It just went off the rail slightly. So anyway, listen, we will try our best. John, I'm even talking to you. I'm giving you a virtual hug because we're going to try our best to put a smile on the face of Falcons fans this morning, even if we have to do it at the expense of Hugh's former team being a scapegoat. So, Oren, what sound do you have for us this morning to put a smile on John's face from the Eagles?
Final tackle is made on Joe Mixon, and that is it. The game is over, and it's a tie. Are you thrilled? I'm not. I'm this close to disgusted. 23-23, a tie. An absolutely inexcusable array of mistakes by the Philadelphia Eagles. This is as bad as it gets.
Merrill Reese. I haven't heard that voice in a long time.
Yeah, there are other teams out there that are hurting. Ask the Jets. Ask the Giants.
Hey, I tell you what, man, but see, y'all don't understand. I'm used to that. I played in Philly, so I know what it is. So
that's
it's about
why
that.
I said they're going to love this.
That does
that
not faze me.
That was the funniest call.
That does not faze me at all. I mean, I've been there. When I first got to Philly, I remember going out and going in the city, and people say, hey, man, don't y'all need to be somewhere practicing because y'all suck. So, I mean, hey, it's par for the course. Yeah. It gets real in Philadelphia, for real.
Well, and see, John and Hugh, this is why I say that despite everything, and especially, you know, living in Jersey for years, just and working in New York City and following all the teams in that tri-state area and up just up and down the seaboard, this is why I say, A, media in Atlanta is actually very, very nice.
Very, very nice.
Yesterday,
count your blessings.
I mean, seriously.
Count your blessings, yes. Nice. Count
and
your
even
blessings,
the fans,
nice.
Yeah, the fans were more on the side of, and John, you know, I want you to chime in here because I want you to release some things this morning. I'm here for you. But, like, the fans were still, they were more in their feelings and really sad and frustrated. But you could tell it was more like, you know, sports PTSD Southern style. Because I promise you, if that was the Giants, the Eagles, the Jets, the whomever, it would have gotten far uglier than it got yesterday.
It's pretty ugly as it is. I'm beyond frustrated. I am, you know, angry. I've got every emotion running through me right now, and that's why I'm saying, I was asking to make major changes. I don't think I'm going to. I ran that poll this morning because I just don't think we're going to get anything. I mean, we're 12 minutes away from 9 o'clock, and I guarantee you, like I said a few moments ago, there are people sitting on there at 9 o'clock looking at Twitter wondering, are we going to hear anything out of Flowery Branch? My answer is, I don't think so. I don't think there's going to be any changes. What do you do? You just kind of go, okay, I guess that's it.
Oh, you run this back, John. You run this sound back to remind you that other teams make kerfuffles as well, and then you remind yourself that, hey, the Saints are 1-2. I mean, just grab hold of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we got.
That's all we got is right. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. Yeah,
grab hold of that.
Nice like this, I wish that raindrops would fall.
I said you got 13 games to go. I understand. Look, I'm as frustrated as any Falcons fan, but you got 13 games left.
Nice like this, I wish that raindrops.
Come on, let's fight. And I was just really kind of, I mean, I understand that Hugh said I was, fight this morning. Hugh was right. Hugh was
she
saying,
she just cheated yesterday. Let it breathe.
I should have let it breathe a little bit, but I didn't breathe. Because, everybody was kind of quitting, and I'm like, no, don't quit. But they were.
As a guy who's been divorced twice, when she mad, let her be mad, man. Because there ain't nothing you going to say to make it right now. Like, I'm just saying. I've been divorced twice.
Again.
When she mad, man, let her be mad. Ain't nothing you can say. Ain't going to fix it that day. You might as well go and let that one ride, homeboy, and give it some time. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, just let it air, let it breathe. Well, John, I want to give you one more thing that might make you laugh and, might make you feel a little warm and fuzzier on the inside. Because you know how sometimes we're on the struggle bus on the morning show. I was asking, how he's doing, and it's like coming back to these crack of dawn mornings could be a beast, right? So listen, we're not always on the struggle bus. There are times when we're ready to rock and roll, and then there are days like today where we're all like waking up like, oh my, this actually happened again. But we're not there by ourselves. Maybe Reggie Bush went to bed later than he wanted to Friday night. Maybe you didn't sleep well, or maybe a Texas game just wasn't cutting it for him. So maybe an early morning wake up time, for Fox Sports college football lineup on Saturday was just too much. He actually woke up at 4:30 a.m. to get ready for Saturday's broadcast. And so he appeared to doze off during the broadcast for a little bit. And their production team put the funniest edits of that on air. And then just Twitter just went crazy. And, Reggie Bush had fun with it as well. But, like I said, we've all been on the struggle bus getting ready for this show, especially Abe. I think he has to be up earlier than any of us. So shout out to him for always pulling it off. But guys, what's the most embarrassing thing you've said or done on air with a hot mic or somewhere, somehow during a live broadcast?
I got one. I got one while John thinks about his.
No, I got one too.
Oh, well, go ahead. Go. Well, do tell. Speak on it.
All right, so we're interviewing Rick Fox on set at Fox during the NBA Finals at Staples Center. My co-host, Todd Donahoe, asked Rick Fox, and my producer, Brett Marsky, screaming in my ear, go to break, don't ask another question. Todd asked another question about his favorite musical artist or something, and Brett is screaming in my ear, in the IFB, go to break. And Rick answers it, and so it's all I'm hearing is Brett. And I looked at Rick Fox. He's sitting right next to me, and I said, hopefully he can come and sing at the celebration here as you win another NBA title, and let's go to break. And as soon as I go to break, I hear in my ear, oh, my God, you didn't hear who he said. I said, no. He said his favorite musical artist was Tupac. I went, oh, God. And the LA Times wrote up, John Frankie doesn't know Tupac is dead. I went, oh, come on, stop. That's why I was like, resurrection. I didn't hear him.
Mine was like, you're speaking about Reggie Bush being sleepy. I was on the air at WIP, and I fell asleep on the air, and my head hit the microphone, and you could hear it. Boop. And they was like, did you just fall asleep? And I was like, no. They was like, yes, you did. You just fell asleep. You fell asleep on that. Yeah, it was like, boop.
Like so, that church head bob that you do.
Yeah. My head hit the microphone and it was a rap. Boop.
Oh, wow.
Orrin's been doing it all morning. That's what he's doing. He's trying to be, you know, soften this up a little bit. I appreciate that.
Orrin is back. Hey, guys.
Hey, Sweet Tea, thanks much. Tanidra Batiste on Twitter covers the Falcons. She's our news anchor, and she has a Sweet Tea Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays at 8:40. When we get back in a moment, the Ryan Report, what Matt Ryan said to Dave Archer after the game is over, and more of your reaction to an 0-3 start by the Atlanta Falcons on this Falcons Monday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90. Turn on the game and worldwide at radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.